We're Triple M, the beautiful Northern Tropics, and oh, Errol. Now, Madam Mayor, you were saying that that's one of your old favourite songs.
Yeah, I saw Oz Crawl as a young lass in Melbourne.
Oh, as a young lass in Melbourne.
Yeah, very young, you know.
Screaming and yelling and jumping up and down and throwing things at them, were you?
We were jumping up and down.
Hey, well, I often mention after that song, Errol Flynn, of course, owned the old Australian Hotel and did that blue. He had a blue going over Louth's Bridge, George Roberts Bridge, it would have been.
Yes.
Yeah, so, great stories. Errol Flynn.
Oh, Errol Flynn. So, yeah, he parked his vessel up here on his way to New Guinea. Or something like that.
Yeah.
Sirocco.
Sirocco. Speaking of Australian Core, one of their albums. Now, we just mentioning Strand Ephemera on 102.3 Ephemera. That's us. It's been a huge success. I was there last night. And literally thousands of people, even on a Monday night, shows how important the arts are. Have you got any of the winners for me?
I have. So Christopher Trotter won with his piece Foreigner. He won the Arts Acquisition Prize. And Pricey, that was the one where you had set up on Saturday. It's just near that, as you approach the headland there right-hand spot.
I know the one. Yep.
Yes. And, of course, Torrin Francis for his piece Way.
Yep.
He got the Artist's Award.
Are we going to buy any?
Yeah, we're getting Christopher Trotter's piece.
Okay.
So that we pay him and we keep that piece. We're going to keep it on the Strand.
Oh, goody. We need more. Whatever happened to that that piece that was on the corner of Denham and Flinders Street East, the big silver one? Yes.
It had all things in it.
It was a little... It was like a pyramid and it had all...
So do you remember after 2008, that council of the day decided it wanted to redo...
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, you notice she said that council of the day. That means it's not my fault. It was somebody else's. Yes, okay.
They redid the Flinders Street East and
they did.
And they removed that piece.
I love Twilights. You know, with all the tents along the east, you know, lifting up dear Flinders East, it really does need a little bit of colour since you guys took down the Cuban Palms. On that point, I noticed Shari gave you a bit of a touch-up in the paper. Do you think this council is not artistic?
Well, when you think about the support we give Strand Ephemera...
Yes.
Support to the Australian Festival of Chamber Music. We're all giving money in grants. I'm trying to support the Pimlico Choir to get down there.
Yeah. What about TPAC? That never sort of came to fruition. Just a bit before your time when the first, it was 40 years ago, when the first drawing was made. Are we going to get a theatre like that with the Civic Theatre or separate?
I'm still invested in, and we've worked with the musicians who are involved, including the local musicians for the Festival of Chamber Music.
Absolutely, yeah.
So we've put it in there. We want the concert hall and exhibition space. Mm-hmm. I've sent an email, if it hasn't gone yesterday,
Email, ladies and gentlemen. We're getting there. The email's gone.
The email's gone to our friends in Canberra for the city deal money.
Oh, well, here we go. Let's get on to poor old Philip again, get some money out of him for it.
Well, we haven't had any money out of them for anything.
Yeah, well, hang on. Let's not start that blue again. Righto, go on.
Anyway, but that's where we're trying to invest with the arts. And the other thing, too, is I've been speaking with Joel out at Joel Bilcoltz, who's the principal, because they're looking to build an absolutely fantastic facility at Pimlico that's going to be open to the public.
As a replacement to PimPac
they're getting rid of PimPac and they're building from the ground up. So we've offered support for that. And the model that he wants is for community use as well. And there's a couple of models he showed me where councils and the school have operated the theatres together. So,
well, you know, Cairns sort of did theirs. Will we get a concert theatre?
If we work as a united community and not
What do you mean a united community? You're the council.
We're not united. No, the arts community, and when people like Shari write their pieces like that, all it does is give the politicians, they're not united. They don't really want this.
Yeah.
What we need is everyone saying the same thing. Give us the money for the concert facility and let us build it.
Okay. Righto. So It's not council money. It is, say, federal money. Is
I'm saying?
Saying
federal money because to build the facility we need, yep, okay. The report that came through was close to $80 million.
Okay.
And that was a while ago.
But that, you know, with TPAC and why did we build it in the first place for TPAC? But will the Hive happen? You've talked to Therese at the Old Queen's Hotel. Will that go ahead?
Oh, look, they've
got, with the concert hall there that
well,
was talked
no,
about.
Well, we can't say where we're going to put it. We've got the they do have the business case for the concert hall. So the issue is around once we know we've got the money, then we'll put we can start to put the plans together, a tender out and see where the best position is. But ideally you want it in a precinct close to the city.
Yes.
Because part of the problem with the Civic Theatre is it's sticking out there by itself.
Yes, it is.
And you can see with the stadium closer to the city the interaction you have.
Mm.
We don't get that same interaction with the theatre. We need to start to have precincts close to each other. We see it with South Bank in Melbourne.
Yep.
That's the sort of thing we want to try and create here in Townsville.
We've still got more of NAFA to go. Jenny Hill?
Yeah, we do. There's some great shows, Wattle and Gum in Central
Wattle
Park.
Oh, Wattle and Gum, they're terrific, yep.
And if you didn't, because we couldn't have Dragon, but we wound up with Yotha Yindi and Baker Boy, that free concert, that had about 4,000 or 5,000 people.
What a great spot. Oh. Might as well use it now. Won't be able to soon. Chris is building his pub there,
Yeah, his new pub. Mm. Then, obviously, The Butcher's Back, that's the next show in the the Circus Wonderland and in the Spiegel Tents.
Thank you, Mel, who owns a Spiegel Tent. What have we learnt this year from NAFA?
We've learnt, what we've learnt is people want their arts in different forms. They're not necessarily wanting traditional things.
What, VO Supercar art? Yeah.
No, but they want different things, which is why I think NAFA is a far better way to, and Strand Ephemera as well, those sort of things, far better way to connect the community to the arts than maybe the traditional way.
Mm-hmm.
Look, the Festival of Chamber Music brings up about 600 people a year from other parts of the country, and they tend to stay for about 10 days in the region.
And we've still got the Garden Fest, garden concert.
We've still got the Garden Concert, the free concert for the community and the Winter School for the students.
That's what I reckon is one of the main things.
Yes, it is.
For the kids. Yep.
It is. So that'll still go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you lose one, but you still get 99 other things. I don't think that's a bad outcome.
I don't think so either. Madam Mayor, thanks for popping in.
Morning, Pricey.
Not often that ministers come in tropical shirts. Minister G, look, is this what Barnaby's doing now? A, B, C, D, E, F, G, so he knows which one's where. Is that right, Andrew?
I think it's just luck of the draw, Pricey. But you'll know I'm here because I'm wearing a Hawaiian shirt. It's a tropical shirt.
Not Hawaii's over there. Right, tropical shirt.
Well, you know, I spoke to you after I got the job, right?
You did.
You're one of the first people I spoke to because Phil Thompson said, you know, you've got to get on the blow to Pricey. And I said, are you in a Hawaiian shirt today? And you said, yeah, every day. And I said, right, I'm going to come up there and we're going to do an interview and I'm going to be in the Hawaiian shirt.
Oh, you're great.
And here I am, Pricey.
Mate, I have to say to you, Minister for Veteran Affairs, we've had a few ministers for Veteran Affairs over the years, lots actually, and you sound bright, you sound confident, you sound positive about the future for Veteran Affairs. How long are you going to last at this job before they change you, or are you going to stick at it?
I'm going to stick at it for as long as I can, Pricey.
You know what I mean, mate.
I mean
that with respect.
No, I understand. And, you know, to some extent we're all in the hands of the political gods on those issues. But I'm going to give – and when I spoke to you during our interview last time, I said I was going to give it my very best shot. And I said I will do whatever I can to help veterans. The mission is very simple. Help veterans and their families and make life better for them. And I think – that's our driving goal. The mission is simple, but I think over the years how we've tried to deliver that has been a little bit confused and, quite frankly, too bureaucratic, if we're being honest.
We've had lots of recommendations. What's happened to them?
Well, we're working through them. But I tell you what, Pricey, I think I said to you last time I'm going to try to hack through some of this red tape.
Yep.
Over the last couple of weeks I've had a very good look at it. I was at Talisman Sabre up at Shoalwater Bay on the weekend and I visited the gun line – the guys on the artillery, and I reckon what we need is, with a lot of this red tape, we need to get some of those folks from the gun line, get the howitzers out and blast through this red tape, put the delayed charge on them. They were showing me how the charges work. Yeah. Drop it into the red tape and kaboom. Because that's what we've got to do.
Have you got the power in Parliament House to do that, though?
Well, we're in government. Government's a gift. And that's what we've got to do. That's the task, no matter how big it is, no matter how new you are on the job. And look, I get that there have been a number of ministers over the years, and I get that people are cynical and they're going, oh, yeah, who's this new bloke who's turned up to Townsville in his Hawaiian shirt?
Yep.
But I'll be judged by the results I get, and I'm going to try to do it quickly because we're only governments only last for a certain amount of time, and then you've got elections, so we've got to get cracking on this. We've got the Royal Commission coming up.
Tell me about that. Like, this is the Royal Commission into veteran suicides.
Yep.
It's four times the national average, and even talking figures is simply horrific. Yep. And we in this great city know it firsthand. We've lost some wonderful, wonderful diggers. What are we going to find out? What are you going to do about it?
Well, there's going to be some very tragic stories come out of the Royal Commission. They'll be devastating to hear, but I think the nation has to hear it because we've actually got to come to terms with this issue. And but as I've said to you before, I don't want to wait for 2 years for the Royal Commission to end.
That's ridiculous. We've got to do something now.
We're getting cracking now. And one of the things that I want to do is get these claims processed faster. We've got to hack through the red tape, get them processed faster, bring some humanity into it. So some of the feedback that I've been receiving from veterans is they've been feeling like numbers and they've been shunted from caseworker to caseworker, bureaucrat to bureaucrat.
Yep.
And we need to be doing better. These are the men and women who are giving so much to our country. The least we can do is give them our best in return. And so that's the mission. And it's a Veterans Affairs is a huge area. The mission is simple.
It's complicated, mate.
It is complicated.
You know, that DVA frightens us.
Yeah, and there's like there's a huge flotilla of legislation out there. All of that's got to be harmonised and simplified. I get all of that. I'm going to work through it. But
what about mums and dads too who've lost their boy, lost their girl? What do you say to them? They don't want to be waiting around for 2 years. And they don't necessarily, you know, the presentations you're going to get are not necessarily give me a few bucks. It's listen to me. I don't want this to happen again. That's the side of thing. I know you mentioned claims. Let's forget about claims for a moment. We're going to look at these people in the future life. And our diggers who are there right now, 18, 19-year-old digger out of Parker, and he's just starting his new career. How are we going to stop this happening again?
Yep. Well, we've got to make sure that the supports are in place. And I've already been talking to the families of veterans who've taken their lives through suicide. So what I want to do is not only listen to what's happened here, but improve things and make it better so that as a nation, we don't have to keep going through this and other families and loved ones don't have to keep going through this. And that's what the families want. They're looking for people to work with them through the system to make it better. And so that's what I've committed to do to those mums and dads and other family members who've lost veterans and diggers out there. And that's what I'm going to do. And so it's not easy and they're difficult conversations, but they're conversations that Australia needs to have with its veteran community and the families of veterans because it's a very uncertain world out there, Pricey, as we know. And the reality is Australia's going to have to call on our young men and women of the ADF to go out there on front lines again and get into harm's way. And if we are going to do that as a nation, we have a huge responsibility to make sure that we're looking after these folks, not only while they're in service, but when they come out of service and also their families. Because if you look at the history of Veterans Affairs, the families are often left to pick up the pieces when our men and women come home, and that's happened for too long, and it's been that way for a long time. We've got the best will in the world in the Department of Veterans Affairs, and they're trying their best, but we have to accept that our best hasn't always been good enough as a nation, and we have to acknowledge that, but then get cracking on changing it and making it better for these people. And that's what I'm determined to do. And yep, it's not going to be easy. There's a sea of red tape and bureaucracy and the flotilla.
We're back to the bureaucracy. Let's cancel the bureaucracy.
Well,
get rid of it.
Well, that's part of it. But we've also got to listen to veterans, find out what's happening on the ground. So I'm going to the Sunshine Coast tomorrow to the uni there to find out about PTSD treatments. I'm going to be talking to veterans.
That's the side of things we've got to do. And I know you're going to Oasis.
Yep.
They're there to make a difference to General Caligari is a great bloke and he cares a lot for the veterans. You'll meet some great people out there who want to make a difference. Keep talking to us and keep talking to these. There's too many organisations, Andrew. There's too many.
I know.
It gets a bit crazy. We've all got to be under one shelter, shed your mind. So mate, sincerely, thanks for coming in. The phone's always open to hear from you.
Well, thanks, Pricey. And look, I just want to say also that you've got a great member in Phil Thompson who is a veteran himself, and he is a terrier in putting forward the interests of his electorate. And you know how we've had like the Occupy Wall Street movement, the Occupy Martin Place movement. Phil's got this movement called Occupy Ministerial Wing of Parliament House. So he'll just sit outside your office all day until he gets what he wants. And so we've got a little Phil Thompson card table we set up for him because we know he's not going anywhere.
No,
but he's meeting with us and the veterans today and helping us get an understanding of what they need and how we can deliver services to veterans and their families. And that's what we've got to do. It's not only listening, it's actually delivering and making life better. So
that's the most important thing.
But I'm up for the challenge.
Yep. Well, stick at it.
I'm determined to get things done for these folks, Pricey.
Good on you. Minister Andrew G, ABCDEFG, thanks for coming in, mate.
Thanks for having me, Pricey. And remember, folks, the secret sound is not a stapler.
No, it's not.